Thank you, Peter, and I also grateful for this opportunity to talk about an issue on which most of you are already familiar. This is about this role of institution in irrigation management in India. As you know, in India, water is agriculture because 80% of the water is used for agriculture, but though agriculture is not water because only 30% of the area irrigated by water, the remaining is rain fed. And so I'm going to actually tell you a small story about the main problems, water problems in India, and on which I think you could put together various kind of perspectives, including some theories of reforms or things like that. And I also wanted actually to tell the story without numbers. So I'm going to the major problem in India. I think this applies to most countries in Asia, including China. The major problem is there is a physical gap. That is, the amount of water resources available and the water resources that we can actually use. So I think in India we have about little less than 2,000 billion cubic meters of water, annual water, of which we could only use about 1,200 billion cubic meter because of various constraints in using the water. And because of this gap in using this water, we have the other gap, which is the supply gap. So the amount of water we actually developed out of the utilizable potential is about 640 billion cubic meter. But as compared to the demand in 2025 or 2050, by 2050, I think we are going to the demand we could supply only means we can meet just the demand, after which there will be a scarcity. But this is only a macro picture, but the micro level, this problem, water scarcity problem is, they are already visible in many parts of India, especially where most populations are located and most agriculture is located. And because the supply gap is also due to the financial, we don't have enough resources to develop, even though there are natural physical limits for developing all the water that we can have. And we also don't have the resources, final resources, to add more to the supply. And the financial gap, actually, I think John is here. I think I will be using some little numbers, so I wanted not to use number. About 780 billion rupees of total investment, and the cost of supplying water about 30 billion Indian rupees. But the water that the user charge that we get back from farmers is only 3 billion. So there are several things. So we spent more, and we also spend more in supplying the service, but we only get little. So because of that, the sector is not generating resources to be invested in developing additional supply. And because of this financial gap, we also have the incentive gap. That is the gap between the true value of water and the value underlying current use pattern. So, for instance, as a crude measure of this incentive gap, the water productivity, that is just the difference between the yield from a rain-fed region and an irrigated area. So this difference taken as an indicator of water productivity, it ranges from 700 to 6,000 rupees per hectare. But the charge, the amount of money that they pay because of the low water charges is in the range of 90 to 600 rupees per hectare. So since water is charged suboptimally, so there is the farmers do not have the incentive to conserve that water. All these problems have an underlying institutional gap. That is, as we are approaching the scarcity era, gradually, the institutions which were involved in developing, distributing, and managing water, they are not moving at the same level. So there is a gap between what type of institutions we need and what type of institutions we have. And I think today we have an excellent presentation from John about the importance of water rights. So that is the type of institution we need, but we don't have it. So that is the gap. And because of that gap, which is contributing to the physical gap, for one reason is that there is a conflict between states. I think John talked about entitlements for regions, sub-regions and sectors and within among users, so on and so forth. Those entitlements are not there. Because of that, there is a conflict in sharing water. I also wanted to point out what John told about the declining investment, World Bank investment in water sector. I think a large proportion of which is going to India. Because the water that we can develop easily without any conflicts among people, we have already exhausted. So further development involves conflict between one region or the other, which is a constraint for funding agency to invest. So because of that, we are not able to use all the water potential available to us. And it is also contributing the supply gap that we are not having demand management tools to match the demand and supply, including water markets. And this also has this financial gap. This is also underlying factor. We don't have a pricing policy, for instance. Our cost recovery policy is not tuned to the changing situation. And the same fact also explains why people are not having the incentive to conserve water. As we could imagine, this involved a huge loss, or what you call as an opportunity cost of not doing any change. And this, I think various estimates are available about what is the magnitude of this cost. I think there are estimates about 4% of India's GDP may be involved as a form of these losses. If we capture all loss, including the financial gap, and also the last output that we are not getting due to these gaps, it will be 4%. I think it amounts to about $16 billion, which is a very big amount. And if anybody wants, I can discuss how this is obtained. But this is a very big amount of money. And with that loss, so there is a clear reason for going for reforms. Institutions. So we know that institution reforms are not easy, and they also involve cost in creating new institution or adjusting new existing institutions, so on and so forth. So and one of the central component of those institutional reforms should be based on water rights and entitlements. And of course, creating that, the economic loss, which is actually the social cost or the opportunity cost of not doing anything, actually provide a strong ground for creating the necessary institutional change centered on water institution, water rights and entitlements. And already we have a lot of potential for creating such system. I think John already mentioned about the in Maharashtra, they already started introducing that bulk water entitlements to different canal or distributaries. It's it's a bulk water level. It is not yet gone to the user level, but this is a beginning. And we also have so many traditional irrigation system, localized, where the rights, water rights are experimented with some success. And also the increasing relevance of international experience, including Pakistan, of how to create these water rights and entitlements. And so this actually calls for major reforms, not just introducing water rights. Then we have to do a lot of modernizing of our canal network to allow volumetric distribution, and also the user organizations to manage the allocation at the outlet level, at the regional and the system level and the basin level, so on and so forth. So it calls for major changes, but it should be centered, the core of that reform should be the creation of water rights or entitlements. And here we know that there is a clear rationale for change, but politics come into play. And so it is being delayed, so on and so forth. So now the major conflict is between politics and economics, whether this huge cost is to going to win or it is the political resistance to change which is going to win. This is the question. But there are a lot of evidences that the economic factors are deep-rooted and they are going to move the political system to create the institutions that we require. So with that, I think let me end this presentation. Thank you for this opportunity.